Are you looking to make a podcast? Well, if you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. First off, it's free. Nothing is better than free. Am I right? Anchor provides creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more services. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, which is very refreshing for very fresh, new podcasts looking to get their start. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
What would you do when your getaway to your cabin in the woods goes wrong? What would you do if something more inhuman was inhabiting the inside of your cabin? Better yet, what would you do if an inhuman monster was trying to break into your cabin to join you? Welcome back to the swamp, my friends. Good to see you made it back for another episode. Today, we're going to be sharing some allegedly true and creepy cabin in the woods stories sent in by viewers, just like you. If you have a story that you would like to share in a future video, whether it be a cabin in the woods story or something different, be sure to submit your story at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I would love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp, and stories like yours that help keep this channel going. Now, without any further hesitation, let's get into these creepy and allegedly true cabin in the woods stories that'll freak you out tonight. When I was a teenager, around 14, my family decided to go on a mini vacation to Hanobi in Oklahoma. Hanobi is very well known for being Bigfoot country. It is densely wooded, and there are not really any large towns around. My parents had rented a cabin, and I, my brother, and a friend of ours were all excited to be out in the woods. While Bigfoot was always in the back of our minds, we did not expect to see one. The cabin we were in was the last one in the line of cabins near a trail that led into the woods. After we settled in and unpacked, I and the boys decided to try and walk down the trail, with our mom jokingly saying, "Watch out for Bigfoot." Thanks, Mom. It was late afternoon when we set out towards the trail. It was kind of a stupid move on our part because we did not know where this trail led, how long of a trail it was, and we did not even have a map. I know. Not that we would need one anyway. At least, not that we would think. We walked along the road from our cabin towards where the trail was. Once we came upon the trail, we all hesitated. The woods were daunting, to say the least, and the trail itself was covered by leaf litter, which made us realize that it would probably be very easy to get lost. My brother asked us if we still wanted to try and walk it. Not that he was nervous, but he is the oldest and he was the responsible one for me and our friend. My friend was quick to say, "Sure, it'll be fun." I wish I had that optimism at the time. I nervously agreed and we started to make our way. We did not get too far. We had only made it maybe 30 yards down into the trail when we all noticed something, or the lack of something. When we had set off from the cabin, there was an ever-present cacophony of cicadas, insects, and birds all throughout the woods. But now, there was nothing. No sounds of animals, just the slight rustling of leaves in the wind. Our mom raised me and my brother to be smart, so once we had noticed this, my brother told us to stop. We all grouped together in a defensive formation, all of us looking out into the woods in a different direction in case we could see anything. There was nothing. Nothing but the sounds of our breathing. My brother told us to wait while he walked a little further ahead. I whispered to him, "What are you doing?" To which he just waved for us to stay where we were. My friend and I were just stunned, both at my brother's bravery and his foolishness. He only got 20 feet ahead of us before he heard a large rustle to our left. We looked over in time to see a large rock that had been thrown by something land 10 feet away from us. This was not a small rock by any means. Babies were smaller than this rock. Yet, something had thrown it as if it were nothing more than a mere football. The rock had barely come to a stop on the ground when my brother shouted, "Run!" and we bolted back down the trail. We did not stop running until we made it back to the cabin. We ran inside and shut the door behind us, panting with fear and exertion. My mom, who was sitting on the couch talking with my dad, just said to us, "That was fast." We all quickly told her what had just happened, to which her response was cheeky, "I told you they were real." At least she believed us. My dad kept asking us if it could have been something or someone else. But honestly, unless there's a bear out there trying out for a football team, no way. We had rented the cabin for another 2 days, and despite our encounter, we did not want to hightail it back home. Scary as it was, it had been exciting in that sense. While we did not see one particularly, we knew that something was out there. We did not attempt to go back into the woods during our stay. I would love to know what you guys think about this encounter. I'd love to know if you think it's a Bigfoot. From all I've read and heard on this show, I'm pretty sure it was. This story is 100% true. I'm in my 40s now. I'm a female, and growing up we had a family cabin that my dad used for hunting. He usually would lodge there in the winter. We as a family spent most weekends in the summer there as well. It is an unusual cabin. It's a cabin that has a school bus actually built into it. It was around 11 or 12 when I saw my first apparition there. I would use the bus part as my little apartment, as that is how it was set up. The front was made into a kitchen, the middle was a couch and table living area. And there is a door that leads to bunk beds, then another door that's kind of just storage. It was around dinner time. I was playing around the bunk beds and storage area when I felt like I was being watched by something. The hairs on my arm raised. I could smell a strong smoke smell, like potentially cigar smoke. I turned to look back at the corner of the storage area, where I can see clear as day. A Native American man, sitting Indian style, no shirt on, what looked like maybe deerskin pants, a feathery headdress. They were sitting there, smoking a pipe. I am getting chills just typing this, it was so real. He was just sitting there, watching me, staring into my soul. I took off to my mom in the kitchen and told her what happened. We both went back in there, and he was gone. There was no one in the corner, but three cement bags piled up. My mother convinced me that what I saw was just the reflection from outside. I never went on the bus alone after that. She kept that back room locked up after as well. About 3 months ago, we were telling stories about our past, and my mother brought up the Indian man. I said, "Of course I remember this." She said, "Yeah. When we went back after I told her what happened, it was freezing cold back there, and her arm and neck hairs raised." She then told me she could also smell cigar smoke. She knew I just saw a ghost, and that is why she kept it locked after that. She was laughing at how she convinced me it was a reflection coming from windows that were blackened out, and that she always felt watched from the back of the bus. But it decided to show itself to me for some reason. We didn't have any scarier encounters, and I'm sorry for that, but I thought you might be interested in this story anyway. It was pretty creepy to me when I was young, and I guess it's still creepy now. I wonder who that Native American man was, and I wonder what he wanted. So I'm going to tell you the story of the murder cabins. This happened back one summer when I was 12 or 13 years old, before cell phones are really common. My mother rented a cabin that we would stay at about 4 hours north of our home. My father could not attend due to the fact that he was working, but that was fine with him. We drove up to the cabin, which was literally just a 15 by 15 room with an attached bathroom just big enough for a bed, a table, and a small television. It was cute enough from the outside. There were several cookie-cutter cabins you could rent. I think 7 in total. They all arched around a C shape, with parking spots in front. And at the front of the line of cabins was where the owner of the cabin stayed, in the front desk area, if you will. Anyways, when we first arrived, we were the only people there. There were no other cabins being rented out at the time, even though it was August. And this area, although semi-remote, is a tourist destination, northern Michigan, you know how that is. The gentleman that worked at the front desk and owned the cabins came out to greet us. I didn't pay too much attention due to the fact that I was 12 and excited for fun outdoors adventures that my mother and I were going to be having. Climbing the dunes, eating ice cream, swimming, having campfires, all that good stuff. Well, I remember giving my mom the keys and saying the bathroom window is broken and does not close all the way nor lock. Which, if we were the only people living there, why not give us a room in which the bathroom window locked? We thought it was strange but kind of shrugged it off. After a day of adventure, we went out, came back in at dusk, and went to bed. The next morning, on Saturday, we woke up, went to the truck, and it just wouldn't start. Strange. I will admit, at the time it was a newer SUV. I don't recall what was wrong with it, but I remember the owner of the cabins coming out and being like, "Oh, your truck is broken. That's too bad. Let me call someone." Mom insisted that she would call someone, and went into his office, used his phone, and called someone to come fix it. As we were waiting for someone to get there, the owner came out and said, "Did you guys have any problems with the power last night?" Mom and I kind of shook our heads, confused. "Oh, well, sometimes in that cabin, the power will randomly go out. All you have to do is come out here and flip the breaker." He then proceeded to show my mother where the breaker was, which happened to be outside of the cabin, behind it, on a pole. After getting the truck fixed, having another day of adventure, we came back ready to settle in for the night. As we were sitting in bed watching television, the power went out. It did not flicker, just boom, out. My mom grabbed a flashlight she had packed and went out there and turned the breaker back on. At this point, we weren't feeling incredibly uneasy, like anyone would be. We got back in bed and about 10 minutes later, the power went out again. My mom jumped up and ran outside only to see the man, which I assumed to be the owner because no one else was there, running away from the fuse box. Needless to say, we hightailed it out of there very fast. Luckily, everything had been packed because we were leaving the next day. I don't know what that guy's intentions were, but I'm honestly still creeped out thinking about it even all these years later. A bit of background on myself, to give a better visual. I am 28 years old, tattooed, a dreadhead, who is an artist currently apprenticing to become a tattooist in Philadelphia. My boyfriend, also 28, is a marine biologist who works on fishing boats all around the East Coast. We are both avid horror fans. He plays in underground punk and metal bands, and B-horror movies where he can basically get drunk and covered in fake blood. I draw cartoons and occasionally draw logos for underground bands and stuff like that. About a year and a half ago, our friend came back from Puerto Rico, where he would end up randomly when his drug addiction got out of control. I did not know him as well as our friends and my boyfriend did, but everyone was excited to have him home and help him get back on his feet. This guy, let's call him Rico, was an extremely talented musician. So talented, in fact, that he could take an entire bass guitar apart and put it back together without even knowing how to do so, and somehow, it would work better than ever. He would even tape pennies to the inside of a broken instrument and get it to work again. His friends wanted to support him and be there for him, but they did not fully understand the concept of an addict. They would drink and smoke around him, giving him beers and shots, not thinking that they were part of the problem. Well, dude, he's not shooting up, so whatever, right? Anyway, a few weeks of having him back in town was special for our friends group, until one day my boyfriend gets a call, in the middle of us having an intense discussion, mind you. "Rico is dead," my boyfriend repeats that out loud. I regress. It turns out he was crashing in our friend's basement down the block. He overdosed and died in his own vomit. Our friend found him, completely gray, naked, and like I said, covered in his own vomit. This hit the friend circle hard. I do not believe our friend who found him has ever quite been the same. Let us fast forward to a year later. My boyfriend and a few of our friends in the same friend group go up to the mountains. The place we go is a hunting cabin in the middle of nowhere. My boyfriend and his family used to hunt black bears, deer, and all that stuff, so they had this cabin just pretty much sitting out here. It was a great place to get wasted, trip balls, and enjoy the fact that there is no cell service, so everyone can pretty much leave us alone. Anyway, I go to sleep after a night of partying, and I wake up to this person kind of standing over my boyfriend as he sleeps. I wasn't scared at first. It did not feel like a bad energy, per se. The next morning, I put things into place. This thing was wearing the same shirt my boyfriend took from Rico's viewing. If anything, maybe the colors weren't exact, but I am almost positive Rico came back to say, "Hey dude, I'm still partying with you guys." Kind of thing, you know? And like I said before, I didn't know Rico like the rest of my friends did, so I felt like he came back to check on my boyfriend and his friends, and I just so happened to be the one to witness it. Is this even possible? Or did I let my imagination make that up for me? I mean, I have other experiences like this one, but I've never had one feel so real. That is what makes me think he was just passing through one last time, since it's not the first time I have seen shadow people or apparitions. It was very interesting food for thought story, though, and I hope you guys enjoy it. There is a new app that's come out recently called Randonautica. It's been the center of a lot of attention. If you don't know what it is, it's basically a mobile app that uses a random number generator to give you a set of coordinates for your local area. Basically, this app and the opportunity of having an adventure attracted my friends and me. On Tuesday morning, August 4th, three friends and I planned to, later that day, go on an adventure at 6 p.m. We were four people in total. Two of my friends and I were in charge of filming. One of them brought his mother's handycam, and the other just used his phone's camera. He also was the one in charge of the map. Another friend and I packed flashlights, water, and snacks. We set up the app. We set the search up for an attractor, and we put nothing as the intention. We weren't taking it seriously. Then it gave us a location. It took us 15 minutes by car to arrive at a point where we had to cross a fence and walk. It was getting dark, so we turned the flashlights on and directly jumped over a fence and walked to the location the app gave us. It was a rocky terrain, so we really had to pay attention to where we were stepping. At some point, fear appeared. Something was wrong. Every part of me was telling me that. My heart was beating faster and faster as everything became dark. After crossing a long field of just rocks, we arrived to a location and we found a stop sign. A red and white stop sign in the middle of nowhere. We looked at each other and kind of laughed. It was disconcerting, yet stupid. We were all disappointed. But thanks to our need of adventure, we started exploring the surroundings. But it didn't take us long to find something interesting. We found a small cabin hiding in the wall of the hill's cliff, with a beautiful scene. But it wouldn't be beautiful for long. It took us a short discussion, but we ended up entering the cabin. I entered first. What I saw was a big dark cave. The cabin ended up being a cave with a cabin as an entrance facade. The two cameramen and the other flashlight entered next. One of my friends shouted. We didn't even turn to see what was wrong, since we were already watching it. There were dolls all over the place. Old, creepy-looking dolls, with either no head or no eyes. We suddenly felt a heavy atmosphere fall upon us. A certain degree of fear appeared, but we were just so interested in seeing what more we could. Things were getting interesting. I just wish it could just be that. Forgive me if I can't really make sense of what I write from now on. I honestly find it hard to describe. We continued walking. It was really spacious, around 2 by 2 meters of space. After a long few minutes, we stopped at a point where the path seemed to end in a room. A cave room. A smell appeared. The smell of something dead. It was very subtle at first, but as we walked into the spacious room, so spacious the lights didn't hit any wall, there was water on the floor, so we were cautious of not falling into a deep place. Suddenly, one of our friends shouted so hard my ears hurt. Then my two friends following him shouted, terrified. I was the only one who didn't know what was happening. My friend with the flashlight kept looking into the dark with his flashlight pointed down, and my other friends were also looking at the same place. I raised my flashlight and discovered what they were scared of. I felt as if my blood froze, and my heart stopped for a second. My friend shouted again and started to run, so I did as well. While I was turning along with the flashlight, I saw how that thing moved to prepare to run as the light came across it. The thing was wearing a white cloak covering its entire body. Its head was out of proportion, too small and deformed. I couldn't see its eyes or any facial features at all. It had long, black hair, but only a few that covered parts of its head. I needed and wanted to shout, but my voice was gone. My heavy and desperate breath was my only way of shouting at that moment. Whereas my friends in front of me were shouting all they could, as we were getting close to the exit, my friends slowed down and I crashed into them. We all fell to the ground, but we soon jumped back to our feet and continued running. I wasn't behind everyone anymore, but one of my friends was, and he was crying out down. "Don't leave me behind, I beg you!" So I slowed down and let him pass me. I was afraid, but I didn't want to lose any of my friends. As we got to the entrance, where all the dolls were, we found them all on the floor, and I swear as my friends were running through them, they were all moving their mouths and growling like a small dog would. As we stepped on them, it felt like they were grabbing our feet. My friend shouted even louder and desperately, and once we finally got out of there, we were just in shock because we still had so much time to go until we reached the car. We continued running desperately, with no single intention of stopping though. At some point, I suggested to run at the same pace so we could all see where we were running to. But then we faced the problem of not knowing where to go. One of my friends said, "I dropped the camera." The other one said, "I dropped my phone." That made me feel completely lost, and so my friends felt the same. While we were running, we saw how many white things moved from the sides. Some of my friends asked, "What's that?" There were more of those things. Everything soon became despair and screams. Those things kept appearing the whole way, sometimes running or sometimes standing at random places near us. Our feet and knees hurt so much, for so many times we had to step on sharp rocks or fell from them. We also collided with multiple trees and with each other multiple times. We didn't know how we could find the way back to the car, or if we would make it from there. But we were lucky. So, so lucky. One of my friends spotted the lights of a car passing on the highway, and we could also hear the cars that definitely saved us. As we were getting close to the highway, two of my friends crashed with a fence that had spikes. They seemed to not feel anything. They just stood up and continued running. I felt so exhausted, but I couldn't stop running. Same for my friends. Suddenly, I got distracted by my thoughts and I realized that I got separated from the group. I saw the light of my friend's flashlight to the far left. As I was thinking and following them, I heard them scream. I heard how someone started to run behind me. I thought it might be one of my friends that got lost too, but as I called saying my friend's name, the only response I got was a growl, just like the ones the dolls made. Somehow, I gained more energy and ran faster than I had before. There were a lot of small trees. It was more of a desert area, so there were a lot of small trees and plants with spikes. I jumped the fence and finally got to the highway. I heard voices and I could hear them saying my names. My friends were calling me, so I ran and shouted as loud as I could. I could see them approaching in the car. I was finally able to feel relief, so much relief that I could almost cry. I got in the car, and we got out of there at full speed. I know it's dangerous, but believe me, we weren't afraid of dying by just a crash. We didn't say a single word on the way back home. We arrived at the house of one of my friends, and we decided to talk it all out. But all we could say was just how crazy it was and that we lost our phones and cameras. "I hate this day" was another one that we said a lot. We didn't talk about this topic for a long, long time. Each one of us just went home and didn't say much else about this. The following days were terrible. One of my friends really went crazy and kept saying he could see ghosts and hear voices. Another one of my friends claimed to see shadows. My other friend just stopped talking to us entirely. He ignored my messages and calls. Whereas I am, I don't know. Everything just feels like a really bad nightmare. And I just don't know what to think of this whole experience.
Thanks for listening to these creepy and allegedly true Cabin in the Woods horror stories sent in by viewers just like you. If you enjoyed these stories, please be sure to hit that like button, as it helps me out a ton in the YouTube algorithm. If you're new to the swamp, why not join us? Hit that subscribe button and turn on notifications to not miss a new video, as I upload them almost every single day on all things natural and supernatural. I'd love to know which story tonight was your favorite. I'd probably have to say number 5 was mine. That's so insane. Headless dolls, growling like dolls, chasing you through the woods, that's a big nope from me. I don't even like normal dolls. If you have a story that you would like to share in a future video, be sure to submit your story at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I'd love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp. It's stories like yours that help keep this show going. You can download and bring your favorite Swamp Dweller scary stories with you everywhere you go. You can do that on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher Radio, and just about everywhere else you find your favorite podcast online. You can also further support the channel by potentially becoming a channel member. It's similar to Patreon, and you get a lot of cool stuff in return. You can also check out my merch store. I have face masks, t-shirts, mugs, hoodies, and just about everything else you could want. I know this video is a little bit shorter than usual, and I do apologize for that. Just been a bit busy with some things in my personal life. No excuses here, though. You know the content's gonna continue coming here in the swamp. Thank you guys again for always supporting the swamp the way you do. I'll see you guys soon with another creepy video.